Hello everyone, and welcome to the first Blackpool Teaching Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust podcast. I'm Alma Stewart, a communications officer at the Trust, and what better way to start than with Radio Wave's very own voice of Blackpool, Andy Mitchell, who celebrates an amazing 40 years in broadcasting this year. What's the connection between Andy and Blackpool Victoria Hospital, you might wonder? Well, here's Andy to tell us more.
Hello, Alma. It's all started at Victoria Hospital. I was 16, and I joined Radio Victoria in the summer of 1979. You couldn't join until you turned 16. So as soon as I'd had my birthday, I applied. And I was invited down to what is now Medical Records, deep in the bowels of Victoria Hospital. And had an interview with a guy who was called Bob Bradley. He was my first station manager. And he was a postmaster in Blackpool, was Bob. And we became very good friends over the years. And he said, well, you're very young, but we'll try you out. We'll try you out. And I got the radio bug because I'd been to see the Radio 1 Roadshow.
That's how you started? What set it off, was it?
Yeah, yeah. I can date it back to the year before, actually, when I was 15. Because I had a summer job on the beach. I worked for Noventi's Ice Cream. And I used to work in the ice cream vans on the beach when I was 15. Mm. And every year, of course, the Radio 1 Roadshow used to come to Blackpool. And in 1978, it was with Dave Lee Travis on Princess Parade.
Oh, wow.
And I wagged off work from selling ice cream one day so I could attend. And I got myself in backstage as well so I could have a look at the equipment, and I was hooked.
Wow.
So I thought, right, I want to do radio. So I wrote off, first of all, to Radio Victoria, but I was too young. And so come back when you're 16. So as soon as I was in there. And it was the summer of 1979 I first went on air.
And so what was it about? I mean, I know it was hospital radio, but did you have an affiliation at all with the hospital at that point? Or had you never been there before? Did you not really know much about it? Or was it something that you thought, oh, this is a nice way to help people? Or
apart from being a sickly child anyway, spending a sizable amount of time on Children's Ward B that same summer, actually, just before. Oh. But I'd recovered. I'd been listening to hospital radio when I was on Children's Ward B. They didn't have the little headphones on Children's Ward. They had big speakers on the wall. And I used to listen to the Children's Request Show. I think it was like, I could do that.
Yeah. So obviously it would have been much different in those days because hospital radio was massive, of course, then. Describe the way the hospital was then as opposed to what it's like now. Because I know you've been back since. So what are the big differences?
Oh, and the size of the place. I mean, Victoria Hospital, ever since it was built, has always been a building site, hasn't it? There's always something being bolted on somewhere. You have a look at the original plans and the original buildings, and they're still there. They're nestling in the middle of this enormous, sprawling complex where bits have been bolted on and bolted on. It's been like a Lego set. It's just got bigger. But I remember we were under the 1960s build, Medical Records and the gym and rehabilitation. We were underneath there. And you can still see it, actually. If you go into the main entrance, A&E, by the clock tower, where the ambulances are stored up the right-hand side, if you peer over the edge, you can see down into what was Radio Victoria's window, which is now Medical Records.
And I believe you had some quite famous guests in your time while you were there.
Oh, Violet Carson. She opened our studios, our refurbished studios.
That was Ina Sharples.
In Coronation Street. Yeah, I mean, she was very famous in Bispham as well. Sharples. She lived on All Hallows Road, or Fleetwood Road, just by the Gaylerfield there. And my mum was quite pally with her as well. She was part of the Bispham Community Association.
So she was a nice lady, I think.
She was a lovely lady, yeah.
Anybody else?
You're putting me on the spot now. I remember going out into town and meeting all the stars of the day. Sue Pollard, who was in Heidi High, of course, at the time. Things like she came down. And we used to do a programme called Talk of the Coast, which is an idea I brought to Radio Wave with me some years later, which was basically like a sort of showbizzy type programme. And if you could get an interview with somebody famous, is great. Of course, back in those days as well, of course, the Blackpool summer season was absolutely thriving. Mm. You know, the theatres were full of big names, Cannonball, Little and Large, all those from the late 70s, early 80s. And no shortage of people to interview.
No, wow.
So that's where I first started honing my interviewing skills.
And so what happened after Blackpool Victoria, the Victoria Radio, I should say? Obviously, that was a springboard. Where did you go from there then, and why did you leave at that time?
Well, I joined in 79, like I say, and I was there for about 6 years. But in that time, I was also getting some experience in professional radio as well. So on a Saturday morning, I'd go over to Radio Blackburn, became Radio Lancashire, of course, and helped out with answering phones for a programme called It's Saturday with Phil Scott and Fletcher Richardson, some people may remember from years back. So that's how I started, alongside being at Radio Victoria. There was a small group of us at Radio Victoria. We were teaching each other radio, basically. Mm. A good friend of mine, my best friend from school, Nigel Webster, he was the engineer at Radio Victoria. He went on to be a BBC engineer in Newcastle. He's still there. And Ian Skelly, who did the Saturday night programme, is now, many listeners will recognise the name. He's been at BBC Radio 3 for about 20 years, and he presents mid-morning Essential Classics. So... yeah, and we all kept in touch and we all taught each other how to do it. And then when commercial radio opened in Lancashire in 1982, Red Rose Radio in Preston, I was given the chance to go across there and work in their newsroom. And it was then I really got the first idea of what, you know, working in a professional newsroom was really like. And the following year, I met up with a chap called Simon Tate, who was a presenter at Red Rose. And we worked on a programme together called Blackpool Night Out. And that was on a Saturday evening. And it involved going around Blackpool on the Saturday afternoon with a big tape recorder, a big Ewer German reel-to-reel tape recorder over my shoulder. And recording bits as live along the promenade and then going back to Preston at 6 o'clock, putting them all together and broadcasting it. And so we were always on the last minute. And Tatey would stop off at the KFC on the way down Blackpool Road. And I'm looking at the clock saying, Tatey, we're on air in 10 minutes. Oh, it'll be all right. We arrive in just at the end of the 6 o'clock news at the IRN 6 o'clock news. And he put the first record on, and then I'd have all these boxes of tape that I'd brought back with me from Blackpool. And I'd have to set about editing these, ready to go out on air. And I was editing live. So we'd have two great big tape machines, big levers-rich reel-to-reel tape machines. And it'd be coming off the left-hand spool on the left-hand machine, across the editing bit. I was piecing it all together, and the right-hand machine was picking it up and broadcasting it. So I taught myself how to edit very quickly.
Blimey! And so, well, obviously you're going to celebrate very shortly your 40th year. Did you ever think when you were sat at Blackpool Victoria Hospital in the dungeon there, did you ever think that one day you would be hitting your 40-year mark?
I never imagined for one moment that it would last this long. I thought I'd be lucky if I lasted in hospital radio, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I was very fortunate in that I met some very, very nice people who helped me along the way. I left Red Rose to go to Piccadilly Radio in 1986 and covered some big stories. You know, the Moors murders, I covered that, and Strange Ways riots in 1990, I covered that. And learnt among the best, you know, some really... really strong journos in Manchester, no-nonsense journos who really knew their stuff. You know, you go into a large newsroom with 20-odd journalists and the typewriters all going. We were just commenting at how quiet it is in the newsroom here at Radio Wave because everyone's on computers and tapping away quietly. You go into the newsroom at Piccadilly, it's bang, 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 you know, people shouting abuse at each other all day. And it was great because that was the culture at the time and, I thrived on it. And it was with all that equipped me to come to Radio Wave in 1992 as the editor. And I've been here ever since, 27 years. And I'd done bits of telly as well in between. Read the news on board or ITV for about 6 years over the turn of the century up till about 2005. And that was good. That was born out of somebody I met here at Radio Wave, who you may remember, a girl called Susanna Boccaccio. She used to be one of our presenters many years ago. And she left to go to ITV, and she phoned up one day and she just said, do you fancy doing some TV? I said, oh, I haven't given it much thought. And, well, come up and we'll teach you how to do it, and you're on tonight. So it's just like that. So it's just been, I've been very lucky with opportunities that have just come my way.
Have you got a particular highlight in the last 40 years? What would you say would be your favourite moment or favourite moments, if there's a couple?
My favourite moments are the ones that made the biggest impact, the biggest stories, I guess. The Yates's fire in Blackpool was, you know, it tested all our resources to the full. We were out there all day. We took the show on tour in Talbot Square, which was rather lovely. And, you know, we set up camp there, and we broadcast all the bulletins all day, all from down there. And we just never stopped talking all day, asking people how they feel about it, you know, the memories that were coming out, and lots of stories about the days of Yates's. That one will always stick in my mind. I remember being made mincemeat of by Margaret Thatcher.
Really?
Oh, goodness me. I really, I was the big I am then. I was like 22 and stupid.
She was probably and the big I am.
And she was even an even bigger I am. And it was party conference, late 80s,
yes.
At the Imperial Hotel. And I managed to get an interview with her, and I thought, wow, here we go, Prime Minister.
Yeah.
I mean, she was flying by the mid 1980s. She was taking no truck off anybody, at least of all me. So I go wading in with some fancy question I'd probably dug off Question Time, fire back, and she just shredded me.
Really?
She absolutely shredded me, and I came away thinking, that'll teach you, Mitchell. That will teach you. Good luck for trying, but, you know, don't bite off more than you can chew.
Wow. So she was obviously, had the reputation was correct then. She was exactly in charge. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
She was,
but with a velvet glove as well.
Oh, you so know, she was charming with it.
She'd lull you into a false sense of security.
Gosh.
It's a tactic I learnt myself, actually, for interviews years later.
Really?
Because, you know, people don't see my interviews as being interviews. The chats.
Yes, of course.
The chats. But along the way, we're extracting the bits that we need from interview, in interview form. But it's about making yourself, you know, making your interviewee feel at home.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't make me feel at home at all.
Oh, dear.
I was petrified, absolutely petrified. And I'm very pleased to say I didn't keep the tape.
Oh, do you know?
No, I was so embarrassed.
So obviously over the last 40 years, lots of things have changed. And obviously you've had a very varied and successful career. If there's anybody out there now who would like to get into radio, what would you have some different advice for them these days?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't go the hospital radio way now. I think that's changed because then, of course, it was the only way in local radio wise to get a bit of experience. But things have changed. We have community radio now. You know, and they're run by volunteers, bands of volunteers. Mm. So it's the same sort of thing, really. You know, it's just on a bigger footing, if you like. And they're taking people in all over the place now. And there's a plethora of online stations.
Yes, that's true.
All over the place. Mm. You know, everyone's got an online station. Radio Bedroom has moved on a bit. So you know, there are no shortage of platforms. And of course, what we're doing now, podcasting.
Yes, is
a new form of 21st century broadcasting. Mm. You know, it isn't attached to a radio station, but it's content.
Mm.
And people consume content in different ways now.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'd say, you know, if you've got something to say, then make a podcast. Tell everybody on social media what you said, where they can find it, and start getting some followers on there. You
know. Yes, we don't kind of need permission anymore, really, do we?
No.
As at one time, of course, you had to go through all these processes, but now anybody can be broadcastable, I guess.
Anybody can be on air.
Yeah.
You know, you've only got to watch popular television to see that.
True. Well, I'm going to add one last question then for you. You've obviously had 40 years... experience and career. Is there anything left that you want to achieve?
Oh my goodness me. I'd like to go back to the BBC at some point.
Okay. As
in an on-air capacity. And because I think every broadcaster's home is the BBC.
Yeah.
And that's after a lifetime in commercial radio, you know, I still say that. You know, to do something on the BBC, I think. And I've done bits and pieces over the years, but to go back again, because that's where it all started for me.
Yeah.
On those Saturday mornings. That's what I'd like to do. I've done telly. That's not what it's cracked up to be either.
Really?
Radio is more immediate. Right, the pictures are better on radio.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah.
They always say that, don't they? What else would I like to do? I don't know. I think I've done everything I really wanted to do. If somebody came up to me and said, well, we've got this brilliant idea for you, and it's something I haven't thought of, then I'd probably say, yeah, let's do it. I always wanted to be a bus driver, and I did that as well.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had my own bus at one point.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Crikey.
Getting another one later this year.
You're not.
I am.
Oh, are you just going to drive it round, or are you just going to keep it somewhere? How are you going to use it?
It's my weekend play-out thing.
Really? Well, so if people Blackpool see you, just give Andy a wave then. Hi, Andy. Yeah. You could do your own voiceovers on it as well.
I could actually, yeah, I could do my own voice. Yeah. Next stop, Stargate.
Absolutely.
I'm getting more listeners now there, actually, on the buses and trams. People telling me that I've just become Lamonge now, you know, on the radio because I've been at it that long. Oh yeah, Mitchell's on the radio, that's fine. But oh look, Mitchell's on the buses as well.
So. That'd be amazing. Well, it's been lovely to chat to you. I know you've been a fond friend of Blackpool Victoria Hospital for some time now, and so I really appreciate you taking the time to do this first podcast, and I think you're the perfect subject for the first one, and hopefully, you never know, we might do some more in the future.
Oh, thanks, Alma. I mean, you know, Victoria Hospital has a very special place in my heart. Oh. It really does. And, you know, we were harking back to those days at the Vic when we used to go and collect the keys from the ladies on the switchboard over the main entrance, and knocking around at nights and getting omelettes at Winnie's oven at 2 o'clock in the morning up in the canteen, and going to the social club, and you know, it's my youth, is that?
Yeah.
So
it seemed like it was a very special place, and
it was home. You
it
know,
still it, is, but
it was home in a way. You know, it was a home from home.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of my time at the Vic throughout the 1980s, and I'll always be very grateful for the opportunities that they gave me.
Oh, thank you very much. Andy Mitchell, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Alma.